So there's never been a better time to become a person who likes to get out of the house, calling yourself a runner, even if you are not, in fact, doing what you think of as running. It does not matter. There's no judgment here. Only it's a safe space for everybody who wants to move. That's what we're coming at Fitness Protection. There's never been a better time to look at self-care. Self-care has been co-opted by white people who's like massages and pedicures. But you know what? It is actually taking a little bit of a time for yourself, not specifically so you can be productive later, but it's remembering this thing called life is in fact a marathon, not a sprint. And if you are going to sprint, you still need to rest. If you're going to run a marathon, you gotta back off once in a while. And the best way to do that is to back off from what's stressing you out the most. And if it's the training plan, then I promise you are doing something wrong right now, you guys, because the training plan should not be stressing you out, whether you're doing everything or nothing. Hi, I'm Coach MK, founder of the Fitness Protection Program. I'm a run coach, not a life coach. We're never really talking about the running. Running is the tool. It's the conduit we use to examine the world we live in, as well as its impact on our own lives and the lives of the people around us. How we react to certain people and to certain stories tells us a lot about how we view ourselves. I'm committed to the thoughtful, intentional exploration of the importance of running so that no one discounts their own badassery, ever. Final note, this podcast is geared towards every runner who won't lose their home, livelihood, or health insurance if they show up to the corral with a hangover. Not that I'm encouraging you to do that, just saying. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the Fitness Protection Podcast. Happy Sunday night and happy end of my birthday week to me. If you just got this notification, we're playing with some new software today that allows me to live stream absolutely everywhere simultaneously. So anywhere I can be found, aside from Instagram, I'm streaming here tonight. So this is my favorite time of the week, weekly segment, Ask Away with Coach MK. Before we go any further, the first question on your mind might be, what the F is that hat? That does not seem to go with anything that I know you to do, Coach MK, and that would be true. Thing that you've heard me talk about a lot, it's called introverting in public. The odd thing about being a woman wandering through this world is that if you advocate for yourself by saying no, that kind of rubs up against people's sensibilities. They don't like boundaries. They don't like hearing that word from women. It makes them more determined to do whatever it is that you do not want them to do. So the name of the game, all the stuff that we learned in charm school when I was younger, is how to get what you want without actually saying no to a person in a way that causes you to engage in a power struggle, which means you got to make them not want to talk to you. I call it introverting in public. This hat fits the bill. This is one of the best gifts ever. Thank you to Portia Glauman and Iris Butler for gifting me this amazing, amazing blingy hat that not only burns your eyes, it also burns your sensibilities for a certain type of person. This is exactly the sort of person I do not want to have making small talk with me in a park anywhere when I'm with my children and my family. So hat is the best way to make sure that no one talks to you. And gosh, it is just pretty, y'all. So there you go. If it seems out of character, it's only because you don't know what character I'm trying to play at the moment. I'm not going to lie, Dahlia, if you're watching the stream, because you're like, how is she streaming on Twitter? I'll tell you later. But the reason that I was late and we weren't able to film is because I had a date with my children that I'd completely forgotten about. And there was no point in trying to defend it or explain it, but it was a promise I made to my kids and it was one that I intended to fulfill. So we hit Pokemon Go. There was a glitch during Pokemon Go Fest. And that glitch meant that we got makeup of 3 hours. And I spent all 3 hours blissfully blocked out, doing absolutely nothing other than catching Pokemon and spending money on eggs and Stardust for every member of my family who now has an old phone of mine or my husband's and a Pokemon Go account. But we got out and we got sunburned. In case you can't tell from my face, it is peeling. But it was totally worth it because we were outside doing something. Fun fact, though, if you're watching this and you're like feeling a little guilty or a little shame because you haven't exactly been running lately and you think you don't belong here, let me tell you how much you do. How many runs did I complete this week that were actually on my own training plan? And that is how many more than last week? 3. Those of you who are not able to see or just listening, I have a lot of people that just turn on the live stream and go about whatever it is that they're doing. I was holding up 3. So it was 3 runs I did last week. 3 runs I did this week, which is 3 more than I did last week. And yay, that's cool. How many of them match the training plan? I have no idea because I've not even looked at the training plan. It is that little bit of normality to see my run of the day come up, It's another day that ends in Y. It's another day that's not going to go according to plan. It's another day where I'm not going to beat myself up because you know what? I'm doing the best I can right now, just like everybody else is. And there's no fall race, so it's not like I'm behind. If you feel like you're not motivated at the moment, cool. Hang on to that. That's valid. But the thing to remember right now is that if you go back in your training log, if you train the way that I tell you to, and you do the one thing I ask you to do that no one ever seems to understand because there's no instant gratification to it, if you finish your run and you go into post-activity training log comments and you add comments there every single time you set foot out the door, then you have accurate data. Even if you're not saying anything interesting to you in that moment, what is interesting to do is to go back and look a year later when you're like, I don't feel good and I'm not proud and blah, 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 and I'm not doing well. And you look back and you're like, hey, actually, I've run more than I did this time last year. Because a lot of people do. August is a month where no one ever gets anything done. It's the final push before school starts. As you sit there and wonder, what's the schedule going to be like? I don't know. All I do know is it's probably going to be out of my control because I got a whole bunch of kids, a whole bunch meaning more than zero. Anything more than zero is like a big hold on your calendar that you're going to make room for them before you do for you, seeing where you fit in the cracks if you're a parent. If you are an animal parent, you're probably making similar choices. I know I had no idea until this week how expensive it is to board a pet, $35 a day here in Denver. I was like, geez, how do you afford to go on vacation? They're like, we can't anymore. Like, all the more reason I'm not getting an animal anytime soon. I will play with everybody else's pets. I will pet sit when they're out of town. But on the regular, we just can't afford it. We got four kids, y'all, and only so much poop I can be asked to deal with rationally the course of the day. So all of that to be like, if that is valid, even if you are just, and that's finger quotes there, just a dog mom, you are still having to consider something else when you make your schedule. And August is a month where it's too hot to go outside. If you live where we do, somewhere near the wildfires, it is too smoky to go outside. It's too polluted and it's too dangerous. So unless you're Pokemon Go Fest and you're in the middle of COVID. So amazingly, you have lying around all these filters and N95 masks, which make it somewhat safer to inhale if you're sitting on a park bench in the shade catching Pokemon. But moving, not a lot of fun. Not a lot of fun. The best time of the day to do it is right before the sun rises. If you get out of bed, then tell me how, because I don't know about you, but I'm so stressed out most of the time that being early to rise to get anything done and feel accomplished isn't happening. I look at the sun. I'm like, not yet. And I roll back over, which is something I've never really given myself the space to do because I had too much to do. And now that I'm overwhelmed, I see that I really didn't have that much that needed to be done before. And what really needs to happen now is a whole lot of rest. So if you're getting a whole lot of rest, if you're actually taking care of yourself, congratulations. That's the most important thing you could possibly do. Thank you. You are very kind. I really appreciate that. Kids always first, but you know, I've not been putting them first enough lately. I'm trying to do that. It is the last weekend before Discovery Link starts tomorrow. And I've made a really difficult decision. Those of you who are watching this on Twitter probably only know me as the abolitionist who goes around protesting all over the place, the protest mom, or my personal favorite, which is just never going to not be weird, the masturbation lady. Because the way people know me is the first few weeks that I was standing on the corner of 14th and Lincoln, handing out bottles of water, overseeing a bunch of protest medics, and preparing younger people as they walked into a space that was potentially about to be filled with tear gas and mace. And the number one thing I could tell them all was something a whole bunch of us learned the hard way in the 90s when we were protesting the first time in Europe, which back then liked tear gas a whole lot more than even our people do now, is that was warning them, your skin is porous. That means there are little holes in it that hold on to stuff. So you don't want to touch your mucous membranes. If you get doused in this, I mean, head to toe when you're choking to the point that you're choking, direct contact, if it is all around you, then the last thing you want to do is touch your mucous membranes or somebody else's. That's right. Don't do it. And I remember giving that instruction. I'm like, you will end up with a chemical burn. You and your friend will too. And then you'll be in someone. Back then when we made these dumb mistakes, no one found out. Now you will be in someone's Instagram story. So don't do that. People remember that. And every once in a while, someone will come up to me and like, hey, it's the lady. And I'm like, wow, all those years of graduate school, all those years on Wall Street, all the money that I spent, I've got like $500,000 worth of education in this brain. And I am now Mama MK, the masturbation lady. Amazing masturbation lady of the protests of 2020. It's been a weird year, y'all, but I'm still here and so are you. We're more than halfway through the year. Congratulations to you and to me. And you're feeling guilty because you know what, Dan, you can have a hat like this. I'm going to get you a hat like this. You need a hat like this now that you have migrated to North Carolina. Because let me tell you, one of the harder things about being from Tennessee when I moved up north was understanding If you've only ever lived in the North and you don't understand what people are talking about when they talk about liberals, when you move to the South, you start to understand it a whole lot more. You're going to need a hat like this. If nothing else, so that people can say, why are you wearing that hat, MK? And I'm like, let me tell you, this is my favorite thing in the world. Freedom. Best thing ever. And it ain't no fun if my homies can't have none. And then just watch white people make, like, have no reaction whatsoever and have my black friends just like fall to pieces. It's totally worth it. So yes, we're going to get you a hat like that. I think I owe you. Anyway, if you don't have a hat like this, they can too can be found at any gas station near you. Hopefully you don't have to drive quite as far as I did to get one as fun as this. Love you guys. Thank you. So before we go too much further, that has been my week. It's been protesting. And if you are watching this again from Twitter and you don't know me as a run coach, remember, there are a whole bunch of events coming up very soon. The first one that's coming up that you need to pay attention to is city council meeting tomorrow night. We have got to get out there and make sure that you let your representatives know that you back Candice DeBaca. And I understand that a peace force doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun, but I tell you what, it is better than a police force. Go look at what the words mean. I know you're like, I know what peace means. Yeah, but go look at the entire bill and one of her Facebook posts and what she is talking about when she is talking about a peace force. If you follow me or Elizabeth Epps, then you will probably love the idea of this peace force. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, and you're like, could you just get to the running? I promise I'm going to get there in just a minute. Yay! I think the hat's awesome too. But so is Candice DeBaca's proposal that if it is passed tomorrow in city council, which we got to go there and raise our voices. And y'all, I tell you, I know it's boring. I know it feels like fourth grade or student council to go and sit through Robert's Rules of Order. But I promise you, it is more important than voting in the presidential election. It is paying attention to what goes on in your city council, paying attention to who is your county court clerk and what they are doing with the land. And I mean, these are all things that I've known, but I'm now like on fire about, and I'm spending a lot of my free time doing. You don't have to do as much as I do, but I'm begging you, if there is one thing you do this week, it is getting your ass to the city council meeting in Denver tomorrow and using Twitter or Facebook or email or phone call to get through to your representative and tell them what you think about this idea. The first bill I've seen yet here that would actually defund police and get us out of this nightmare that we are in right now, where our black friends, our melanated friends, anyone with skin darker than a paper bag is just not as safe as the rest of us are in the face of the police. And that is not going to change with this presidential election, y'all. But that can change with what happens in city council tomorrow night. So please, 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 if you're in Denver, go. Yay. Now, back to running. Because if you're like, I don't want to think about politics, great. That's called privilege. Enjoy it. Let's see how y'all spend it this week as we go through my favorite first segment, the weekly wins. Here we go. Before we go too much further, for those of you that are new, I'm Coach MK. I'm the founder of the Fitness Protection Program. And right now, what all most people need, if we're not training for anything, because there are no fall races, what we need to do is get out of the house and move. Because if you sit around all day long, that's awesome. And it feels really nice. But sometimes you need to get up and get away from the children, the dogs, the animals, the cats, the geese, the chickens, whatever it is that you happen to have around your house, making noise and demanding your attention. It's good to get away from all of that and do something for yourself. And I find the only time I am truly alone is when I'm outside doing something that no one else in my family wants to do. They will sit on my lap when I'm in the toilet, you guys, and try to get me to read a book. I don't know why, but I am a sitting duck, literally, when I'm somewhere, even when I'm doing something like peeing, I can't keep my family away. When I'm out and moving, can't no one get to me. I'm not coach. I'm not mom. I'm not anyone's manager. I'm just out. And even if I'm just walking, I'm still getting something for me and I'm getting away. So there's never been a better time to become a person who likes to get out of the house, calling yourself a runner, even if you are not, in fact, doing what you think of as running. It does not matter. There's no judgment here. Only it's a safe space for everybody who wants to move. That's what we're coming at Fitness Protection. There's never been a better time to look at self-care. Self-care has been co-opted by white people who's like massages and pedicures. But you know what? It is actually taking a little bit of a time for yourself. Not specifically so you can be productive later, but it's remembering this thing called life is in fact a marathon, not a sprint. And if you are going to sprint, you still need to rest. If you're going to run a marathon, you got to back off once in a while. And the best way to do that is to back off from what's stressing you out the most. And if it's the training plan, that I promise you are doing something wrong right now, you guys, because the training plan should not be stressing you out, whether you're doing everything or nothing. My coach costs three times what you guys pay. Y'all pay him his protection, $29 a month. My one-on-one coach costs three times that, and I'm still not doing the workout. So worried about throwing money away, you're still like throwing away as much as I am. And I promise you're looking at it incorrectly. What I can do is tell you, as a position of authority, a person who is invested in your ongoing development, you are doing exactly what you need doing right now, whether you're running or whether you're not. If you're listening to your body, if you're paying attention to yourself, if you are doing something for yourself, then you are, in fact, doing exactly what it is I want you to do. Whether or not it was in Training Peaks does not matter. It's not the name of the game. So to the weekly wins, we're going to start with Runner Interrupted, yay, which is a support program for people whose journey is completely interrupted at the moment, either by injury, life, cancer treatment, what have you. We have a whole lot of special parents in that room who are unable to focus on anything, but still want to be able to support of a coach and each other, that community going forward. So it is led by one of our sponsored athletes, Amy Nicole Trujillo, who happens to be a teacher at Maury Middle School. If you're watching this on Twitter, remember what we did last week? Sweeps. Yay, sweeps. Amy teaches at that school. She works for me. She works for us. She is amazing and we love her. And she had a birthday this week too. Happy birthday to us, Amy. Us. Yay, us. We're amazing. Go Leos. I know Leos scare a whole lot of people, but you know, we are sensitive. We are empathetic. We love communicating things that we're passionate about. We are very passionate people and we feel things deeply. We are not specifically the narcissist that people like to make us out to be, although some are. I like to think that I'm not. I definitely know that Amy is not. She's one of the best people ever. And Iris, so Iris Butler, if you need proof positive that Leos are not categorically de facto evil, not just me. I like to think also Amy. If you knew Amy, you would back off your statements on Leos completely. All the noises that you hear coming from this new thing right here. I know I had a BlackBerry. I always said from my cold, dead hands, but I'm still alive, y'all. AT&T kicked me off the server this week and said, we will not support BlackBerry anymore. Something, something 5G. I'm like, what? So I had to replace my phone. I now have an iPhone and I do not know how to turn off a lot of the notifications without muting everything and a lot of the sounds. So please bear with me. There'll be a lot of noise in the background until I figure out how the to use this thing that I don't like very much because I miss my BlackBerry. I really do. Whew. So the dream is dead, but the heart must go on and we shall. So happy birthday, Amy. Moving on to build, JJ Jensen has been hitting her strength goals all month in July. That is amazing. I have not been hitting my strength goals. I am so far away from any strength goals that I did not have the strength to demonstrate the August strength. I'm trying to work it up to be better for September, but whew, congratulations to you. You are further ahead than me. Well done, Ms. Jensen. Rebuild. Christian Fraser has a better idea as to why her running has been feeling off and has some good ideas as how to improve. Yay! I love hearing that because if you have an idea of what's going wrong, then you have a blueprint to fix it. Now, remember, blueprints were never made to be static. That's why I talk about blueprints instead of plans. If you ever met an architect, it's really annoying. They're like, here's the original, and then there are little dotted lines all the way around it. Everything is fluid because plans change as you gather more information. That really needs to be what your training plan is, what your schedule for the day is. It's more like a blueprint. This is what I need to get done. This is kind of what I think I'm going to do it. Everything is penciled in. And if change plans, congratulations. That's called resilience. That's going with the flow and getting things done. It's not about, I will do this as planned and punish myself if anything happens. Like, that's ridiculous. But a lot of people think that way. A lot of us have been conditioned specifically to think that way. So if you have been able to go with the flow and get things done, yay for you. I know that I have been kind of sucking out of it all the way around this summer. There's some days I'm so overwhelmed. I'm just like, I'm just going to watch Twilight. Remember the Tiger King phase of this quarantine, y'all? Tiger King? Yep. I mean, that was engrossing. And then there was Cheer. Cheer, like, was back at the beginning of the year, but kind of stressful going into the new year. Like, oh my gosh, Cheer. Oh my gosh, Tiger King. It was like something for the times. If you are looking for a new thing, I strongly recommend busting out Twilight again. I read Midnight Sun, and I'm not ashamed. I read Midnight Sun in one sitting. It was terrible, but I couldn't stop. Kind of like Tiger King, not ashamed. For a glorious 6 hours, I didn't think about anything that is stressing me out or anything that is bothering me. I just read about sweet, sweet vampire love in the worst prose possible with no judgment to me or to the writer. Just saying, she ain't Shakespeare, but she don't want to be. Well done, Stephanie Myers. After reading that, then I had to go back and watch the movie, fill in the gaps. And then I had to pull out the books again. And so part of my downtime has now been engrossed in this really terrible series that is trashy and amazing, just like Tiger King. So if you need a new Tiger King, I tell you that to tell you this, go pick up Twilight, even if you never have before. If you haven't picked it up in a decade, you're going to go back. And I promise you in a few seconds, you will remember why you started reading that nonsense in the first place. it feels good. So that's my weekly win. I read Midnight Sun, All of Twilight. I live to tell the tale, and I'm proud, y'all. Freedom. Annie Jenkins got to try out her new heart rate monitor on her walk. Yay! She's been able to go a little bit longer without feeling sore the past couple days, and today she went further than she's been able to go in a while. So she's celebrating. We're going to celebrate with you. Well done, Annie. That is huge. I know the first time that I went out recently, again, none of my runs have been glamorous. You've probably seen there on the days I can get out. Some days I don't even look at my heart rate monitor. I'm just going to go. I'm going to run at what I want to. I'm going to walk when I want to, and I'm not going to pay any attention. That happens more frequently than I care to admit. But I'm just trying to get whatever it is I can get and what I need to get on a day-to-day basis. So the first day I was able to go for an entire hour without stopping, I was so excited. I was so proud. I was like fist pumping on the side of University Boulevard, which is a big street here in Denver. And it felt better than I could possibly articulate. So I tell you that to tell you this, Annie Jenkins, I know exactly what you feel right now. And I'm excited for you. I really, truly am. Congratulations. That's an amazing feeling. Hang on to it and let it last. Nakia, Coach Nakia over in Maintain, another one of our sponsored athletes. Promise, once you take a look at Coach Nakia, you won't be able to look away. She is that charming, that amazing, and that much fun to be around. We are thrilled to have her as part of the Fitness Protection team. Coach Nakia got to go back to the gym for the first time since February. I know she's been doing some crazy stuff. I have not been as active in Training Peaks lately because new phone. All of our sponsored athletes are trained one-on-one by me when I have a phone that I know how to use. And my BlackBerry actually got melted in the sun before we got kicked off the network. So I had to go get a new one that never arrived, getting refund there. It was a lot of drama getting migrated over to this, but long story short, now I'm almost together again and I should be back saying hi to everyone that I'm coaching one-on-one in Training Peaks. Again, that's only our sponsored athletes. I don't sell that service, but this makes sponsored athletes a little bit more special. But there you go, Nakia, Coach Nakia. You'll be hearing more from me soon now that I think I've figured all this stuff out. But I did see some really scary workouts for you in Training Peaks this past week. And I was like, oh, it looks hard. It looks so hard. You do harder workouts than like I ever would. You are strong and coached and loved and winning at life. And, you know, I kind of wish I was coached and loved and winning at life too after I look at what you've been up to. You've been doing a lot. You've been doing the most, as the kids would say. Yay, am I cool yet? Out there, I got this hat. I got the best hat. I'm telling you, I'm going to reclaim this word, y'all. Reclaim it. No questions in Build tonight. So Build is our on-ramp program for you people who are either new to working with me to the Coach MK way or brand new runners in general. Build is a little bit more hands-on than the other programs. Build is led by Coach Nakia, and it's supposed to be an on-ramp and an introduction either for new people or people who just like don't understand all the words that I make up and use and kind of want a slow introduction to the way we do things here. So no questions tonight in Build. We do have questions in Rebuild. Rebuild is one of my pride and joy programs. Rebuild is a program for people who need to rebuild their running habit or rebuild their runner's body after 6+ months away. We're going to leverage existing muscle memory. We're going to go back to refresh those habits. We're going to rebuild everything soup to nuts. You need a little bit of support and a little bit of help doing it. You know too much and have too much experience to be in a Couch to 5K program. I mean, it's a horrifying name. Terrible. I hate everything about it. As though you were sitting on the couch all these years. F that. I hate those names. But you deserve better than that, especially if you're returning after a ways away, because you probably made an empowered decision to do other things. Congratulations to you. Welcome home. We missed you. That is what Rebuild is all about. No shame in anything we do whatsoever. I am very, very conscious and cognizant of that at all times. So that is what Rebuild is. And here are the questions from that program right now. Yay. I'm happily here on a recommendation from my intuitive eating nutritionist since we both decided I was ready to begin movement again. Yay. I'm not a total beginner with running, but I do worry that a lot of what I know comes from a diet punishment mindset. It's not just you. That's most people. Mine comes from a very different mindset in a cardiologist's office when I was a kid with trying to, you know, help my dad stay alive. So I feel you. It's a very different way of looking at the world that I have. And it's very unique. You're going to hear a lot of things from me that you don't hear everywhere else, but might be implied in other places. I spell all this stuff out. No punishment, no shame ever. I really don't look at things that way. And final note before I finish the question, it's going to take more than me and more than a day to undo decades of conditioning. So it's going to take a while to adjust to the way I'm going to encourage you to look at things. And that's okay too. It's not about who gets there first. It's about who stays in it the longest. And I really hope that you'll be here with me forever. So here's my question. How long after eating should I aim to run? Is it best to run after a balanced snack, or would I be better fueled after a meal? In the past, I ran first thing in the morning or after a long fast, but for reasons that were strictly weight loss based. Schedule-wise, that might be what works best for me, but I want to make sure I'm nourishing my body in a way that lets me get the most enjoyment out of my exercise. Thank you. I hear you. So for most of my life, actually, I woke up, went for my run, and then came back and had breakfast, which was dry toast with poached egg. Why one piece of toast and one poached egg? That was like that is from my childhood until I no longer had a way to poach eggs when I was in college. And I've recently returned to that, and it makes me really happy. So why that? That was what the cardiologist said I needed to have, that dad needed to have for breakfast. That was one of the recommendations. Is it the ideal breakfast? I never asked myself that question. Is it ideal to run fasted? I didn't think of it that way. I don't like running with anything in my stomach. Back then, and this is the first time in my life now as an adult at the age of 42, that I've had the luxury of getting up, making breakfast, letting it digest, and then later going for a run. I have never had it. I've always had jobs that started first thing in the morning. Like I have to be at the office at 7, and breakfast was something I consumed as I walked to work. There is no way to run to work. It's like the only way that the jigsaw puzzle of my morning would shake out was if I ate breakfast on the way to work and ran before that, or ran at the end of the day long after work was done. So I tell you that to tell you this, schedule-wise, think about what works best for you. Don't worry so much about optimizing it. We're not Olympic athletes. Olympic athletes who are as fit as you could possibly get, if you think of them like we are a full tube of toothpaste, you can squeeze anywhere and something's going to come out. Olympic athletes are more like my husband's tube of toothpaste that he like flattens it and got to get every bit out. And we cannot throw that tube away, y'all, until every bit is extracted out. I mean, we are very different in our approach to toothpaste use. I just kind of squeeze it anywhere. I'm like, yay, there's more. He's like, straighten it out. So I tell you that to remind you, Olympic athletes, elite athletes, they are my husband's tube of toothpaste. It is really hard to get anything to come out. And you have to know exactly where to press, how to press it, when to press it. It's complicated and it's heartbreaking because there might not be more and you never know until your next race. Yay! All we have to do is not stop, not do anything too stupid, like show up with a hangover to the start line. And odds are pretty good that we can do better than we did the last time. That is not the case for the truly talented and extremely good athletes. And this is why you hear me say over and over, thank God I'm not elite. Thank God we are not elite. It is hard to be elite. I don't want that type of pressure. I've got enough of that pressure in other parts of my life. I want this to be something that I enjoy. And the things that we do in the name of performance usually sacrifice our ability to enjoy it, except for that fleeting moment across the finish line and win, which is something I'm never going to experience. And that's okay too. I'm not missing out, neither are you. So the general rule of thumb, don't worry about optimizing, worry about what works. I don't like running with anything in my stomach. I like to wait at least an hour after running, kind of like swimming, half an hour to an hour after a meal. Will I even consider running or swimming? But don't worry about it. Look at your morning schedule and think about what works best for you. In the past, if it was eat or run, you know, the run was still going to happen because I had trauma from my dad's heart attack. I would never tell you not to eat. I would never tell you to put yourself into a position not to. If it was between eat or run, I would always say eat, and then we'll figure out the running at another time. If that's truly the only option between the two, please choose eating. If we can move the schedule around a little bit, maybe the answer is part of an energy bar that's quick absorbing or a fuel like Martin, M-A-U-R-T-E-N. Ask Dan, the consistency is blah, but I tell you, it will give you the energy that you need if you do not have the ability to have a meal before you go running. Another really good option, this is probably the best option, is called UCAN. UCAN, like everything I talk about here, y'all, it's just stuff I like. We do not have advertisers on the podcast. I do not have sponsorships with the company. We are small and I like it. If we get to the point where it's just stupid to turn that money away, I'll think about it. But between now and then, I'm just going to say whatever I want and not worry about it. Because once you have advertisers on your back, you got to worry about losing advertisers. And I just don't want to get there. So Martin, M-A-U-R-T-E-N, it is dense. Like take what they say on the package and do half of that. It was designed with men in mind, specifically the man that broke the 2-hour barrier in the marathon. So for us, we don't need quite as much. We really don't need quite as much. So cut it in half. Have a little bit before you go out the door while you get dressed. And then, you know, maybe have the rest during the run, do what works for you, but don't worry so much about a formula and ask yourself, like, what do I need to get? And then make sure you get it. Maybe you love running on an empty stomach. I do. If I can run first thing in the morning, that is. If I can't run first thing in the morning, I've got to be like, okay, it's going to be 2 hours before I can run. Realistically, I got to have something in my belly or I'm going to get real mean as my blood sugar drops. So have an idea and have a backstop. So for me, that idea is I get up and run. If I can't get up and run, I say, okay, then my run's going to start at this time, set that alarm in my calendar, and I eat something right away. If you have to rush out the door, then maybe Martin or some other fuel like UCAN would be a really great way to get you started. That UCAN with the cornstarch, last I'll say about it, is going to keep your blood sugar nice and level. And if you follow the glycemic index, that's the thing that I had to worry about a long time ago. It's something I still have to think about now. I just don't talk about it very much because I don't want people being like Googling it and then treating it like a diet. The idea behind it is just to keep your blood sugar stable and steady throughout the day so you don't have any big rises or big crashes. And with celiac, I have to think about things like that. So you don't specifically, but we want to find low glycemic ways that don't like jack up your blood sugar, like eating like chomps or whatever as you go out the door. Chomps are not breakfast, you guys. It's not what this stuff is designed for. You will crash. It will have the opposite effect of what you want. Let's get something light, something gentle, something that's going to move with you as you go. UCAN is a good way to go. Or rejigging your schedule. I need a little bit more information to tell you specifically. This is how I would do it. I know this feels like a word salad, but it's also a lot of information. And we deliver it in this format so you can go back and listen to it over and over and over again until you kind of get what you need to out of it. So there's a lot of words. A lot of words give you a lot of options. Choose the path that works for you and do not worry so much about optimizing. The thing that makes you happy, the thing that you can do, the thing that you can make almost instinctual and robotic, that is what optimized is. The best thing for you, not the best thing specifically according to science, because we can think bigger than that. Because we're not elite. Yeah, yes. More options. It's amazing. No, yeah, I know. I love it. Dan says, nope, on the consistency of Martin. 10 on the effect. It's effective stuff. It's really good. It's going to give you an energy boost without that big blood sugar rush. But yeah, the consistency is very, there's an adaptation curve there, to say the least. All right. So that is how I would look at it. It's not about diet or punishment. It's about what works best for me and what do I need to get? What's the easiest way to get it? Occam's razor always applies. Hi, I know our plan is supposed to be a guided DIY, and it's okay if I don't do all the workouts, but I'm feeling like I'm failing. That's because you're looking at this the same way everyone else in your life has told you to look at things, that you don't deserve it if you're not using it, that this is not okay. More pressure. Pressure, by the way, if you've ever heard that pressure turns coal into a diamond, it's not true. It is not true. It's a function of time and pressure. But pressure is not the only lever to pull. It's not the only variable. It's not the only thing that you can tweak. You still need time for that to happen. So I tell you that to tell you this, that most of what we've heard, that if it's pithy and it belongs on hat with bedazzles around it, it's probably not good science. So let's back off of some of those things that add more pressure. More pressure does not necessarily improve the outcome. Ask everyone who missed the Olympic trials by fractions of a second. They were under a whole lot of pressure. Just saying, if that was the only thing, then a whole lot of us would be doing other things, not feeling like we were failing and not feeling unsatisfied. Okay, so let's start there. Whenever I see the word failing, I think about pressure, and I know that we're looking at this incorrectly. So perspective shift is coming once I finish this question. I'm feeling like I'm failing. I'm not training for anything in particular, and my running has been super hit or miss. Mine too. Can you give us some guidance on the minimum necessary to train for life and not be a total slug? Okay. You are not a total slug. If you feel like a total slug, that's because someone has told you at some point that you were. Idle hands are the devil's plaything, or you've been shamed for not moving. I had a coworker once who would take a look at my schedule, and I'm one of those people, I call myself a blocker, maybe because maybe it's a Freudian slip, but it works. My husband's one of those people who's like every 15 minutes of the day is like stacked. And I'm like, when do you go to the bathroom? And it makes me like nervous when I see that, because that's just designed for me to fail. I'll have like the morning activity, lunch, afternoon activity. Maybe there's two if it's a longer afternoon block. And I've had a coworker once that looked at that and was like, that looks so lazy. You just don't do anything. I'm like, we produce the same amount of output. I just play with my schedule much less, because this person was constantly rescheduling things. So I tell you that again to tell you this. I was not lazy. This person really thought I was. It was a performance. We've been taught to perform busyness or excuse the things that we can't do, the things that we don't really have time to do, the things that we really don't want to do. It's shaming to live in the should. Guided DIY means that you can make this plan work for you. You don't have to run 5 days a week. If 5 days a week feels daunting, cool. It's written as five, but if you're like Monday, Wednesday, Friday works for me, amazing. Congratulations on knowing that. You're not throwing money away by not running the other two. This program costs less than $1 a day. So even if you were throwing it away, again, you're probably throwing that much away in other places too, in ways that are not geared towards making you feel good about what you do. So I don't look at anyone, especially now with protests going on across the country and an election year, which these are stressful anyway, most of the time. This one tends to be a little bit heightened, but honestly, I think this happens every 4 years. Every 4 years, I don't want to watch TV anymore because I don't want to see those ads. I don't want to look at my Facebook feed because I don't want to see what people are talking about. So things feel more exaggerated right now because we are in the middle of a pandemic and there are a lot of questions in the air, a lot of question marks around the planning that we can do, the plans that we can make, because we don't know when our kids are going to be back to school, when we're going to be paying $35 a day once more for having someone to watch and walk our dog. I had no idea how expensive that was, you guys. It's insane. Wow. So I tell you that to remind you that if you're running, it's hit or miss. It's because life is hit or miss right now. The very definition of the word resilience is your ability to keep moving forward as plans change. The resilient person can do that. Fitness protection is designed to embed you with a sense of resilience no matter what happens. And that's why we have these plans for every phase of your journey as a runner. In those times when you know you're not going to be able to run at all, we have Runner Interrupted. That's a support program. Those times when you know I can only handle this, rebuild. You know, it's not about, well, I'm not new to fitness. That's okay. If you want less work than what Maintain offers, you can move right over into rebuild. That's not a big deal. We have a whole lot of people doing that. We had a whole bunch of doctors and nurses do that at the beginning of COVID because they knew they wouldn't be able to handle the time. And they really care about seeing that green box in Training Peaks. So they're like, I would rather go to rebuild where I'm going to see nothing but green boxes than in Maintain where I'm going to see a whole lot of red and orange. And I'm like, that's valid too. Knowing what you need to get and then getting it, that is the heart of guided DIY. That is the heart of fitness protection. That is what's going to give you the consistency you need to stay in this game longer. So that's why I say you're not failing. Whatever it is you're doing right now, you're an adult, man. It's exactly what you need to be doing, unless you are not taking any time for yourself. If you are feeling guilty, that's different than feeling angry. When I have not had time or space to go for my run, when I've not had time by myself, when every time I've gone and shut a door, there's been someone knocking on it, I get resentful. That's different. I don't feel like I'm failing. I'm mad at whatever got in my way. You don't sound mad to me. At least this question is not written as though you're angry. So that tells me that you are in a different place than what I just described, right? If there was a whole lot in your way, you'd be pushing back against it. Here, what you're pushing back against is yourself. If what you've needed to do this week is take more time alone, if what you've needed to do this week is sleep in, if you're in a place with a lot of wildfires and you can't breathe the smoke, or your head is just in a place where I don't need to move right now, I know I can't do what's written and that's going to spin me out, so I'm just not going to do it. That's a lot of self-awareness. And I want to commend you for that. That is the opposite of failure. That is what breeds the resilience you're going to need to make it anywhere in this life. So the bare minimum, there isn't one. The bare minimum is giving yourself understanding or working with me and long enough that you can see that every choice you've ever made was the right one. In that moment, I could go for a run or I could eat breakfast. I'm choosing breakfast. I didn't run, therefore I'm failing. No. I could run or I could sleep in. I really don't want to get out of bed, so I'm going to sleep in. I didn't get my run done. I'm failing. No, that's not how it works. You're coached. You're loved. I see you. I know how much mental strength it takes to get through each day because you have more strength than anyone has ever given you credit for. That's why I don't talk about people needing more mental strength. What you need is less pressure. Less pressure. That's what all of us have needed for a very long time, long before this year came along and knocked us all sideways. You're still here. You're still asking. You're still engaging. That tells me that you are still finding ways to advocate for yourself in other areas of your life that count very much, and that you're spending your time doing the same for the people you love. And that is f-ing amazing right now. I could not be prouder of you. I could not be prouder to coach and love you. I really, really mean that. So if your running's been hit or miss, that's because this year has been hit or miss, not because there's anything wrong with you or that you are lacking in any discernible way. I promise. You're not a slug. If you have more questions about that, come on. I will call you all kinds of things. I will tell you how amazing you are. I will tell you how crazy I am about you and how proud I am of you. I'll give you all kinds of words other than slug to fill your brain with, that you can hear my voice, which is pretty distinctive. It's why I didn't bother like trying to go incognito on Twitter. Even if I'm out in black block, people will be like, oh, that's MK. And I know this. I'm a liability from a security standpoint. So there are all kinds of things I cannot participate in this revolution. But I can be here telling you that you are the opposite of a slug. That voice of mine in your head embedded in there. It's like, hell yeah, I didn't get anything done today. Hell yeah, I survived the day. Hell yeah. Let that be the refrain that you've got, because you're not failing. Hell no. You're actually winning. This is what winning looks like. It's what it feels like. It's a little confusing because it's not what you thought it was going to be. And it's never satisfying. You are persevering. There's no award for that. Just accolades from me, the person who's invested in your ongoing development, who's going to remind you that what you need to get, the bare minimum, is to keep showing up and engaging with me. It has nothing to do with the miles on the calendar, with what your Garmin tells you, with what Training Peaks reminds you of. It's this right here, asking and showing up. This is what matters in the long haul, because this is the only way that you are going to start advocating for yourself again, finding time to do this again, is if you feel good about coming back, if you're excited to come here, if you know that I've missed you instead of worried that I'm going to shame you. That is what counts. You are much further ahead than you think you are. And I could not be proud of you, especially in a year like this. You're already doing the bare minimum. And thank you. I could not be more grateful. My runs have felt pretty good despite the heat and humidity. But towards the end of my runs this week, my legs are feeling very heavy. Is it the heat? Should I just slow down more? It's a couple of things. And Dahlia and I were supposed to record a podcast about that today, but we were not able to because, you know, I had to go play Pokemon Go with my children and wear this amazing hat in public so that people wouldn't talk to us. It worked. Introverting in public starts right here. What we're going to talk about is called ferritin. A good way to think of it is your gas gauge. If your gas gauge is low, if you feel this way, you've got the dead legs. Normally what I tell people is, oh, that's protein. The reason I say that it's protein is because I don't want you guys doing Google searches and going crazy with it. What you need is iron. What you need is iron in a digestible, easy to absorb format. And the most immediate format for that is the protein source that you probably think of first: red meat, chicken, turkey, any sort of meat product. If you're a vegan, vegetarian, I'll leave that to you. I am not one. And I know there are lots of good protein options, but that is why. It's because if your legs are feeling heavy, if your muscles are feeling kind of dead, like they're lacking pop, then you need protein because you need iron. You need ferritin specifically. If you're a female and it's kind of getting close to your time of month, Dan, cover your ears. All gentlemen here, cover your ears. I'm going to talk about lady business for a minute. But you need to know this too, because if you have end up living around or with or near a lady at some point and she's making these complaints, make her something nice for dinner that involves lots of iron when she feels better. You can take credit for that. You're welcome. That's why you paid me $1 a day, you guys, is for gems of wisdom like that. But no, I wouldn't necessarily say you need to slow down more. If you want to, you absolutely can, but that's not going to change the way your legs feel. When your legs feel like that, you definitely do not need to push. Meaning if you got speed work, just cut it out or be like, yeah, no, not today. It's not the day for it. Because when you're in that place, your gas is low, you are more likely to break than build because your body just isn't able to do it. That feeling can be solved with nutrition. And Dahlia and I are going to be talking about that later this week. We're going to live stream it the same way that we're doing this tonight. If you're unable to join us live, we will be releasing it as a podcast. We have a podcast on iTunes called Running Life. It's one of our fitness protection, official production of the Fitness Protection Program. We are a podcast network now. Yay us. We are making our first series of acquisitions this week. I'm really excited about that. So you're going to see more in the feed going forward from more individuals that are going to add more to the conversation about protecting our mental and physical well-being for this marathon called life. And one of the first things we're going to talk about is from a nutrition perspective, when your legs feel heavy, that's like your gas gauge blinking at you. I wish mine screamed at me because I'm always on empty. But it's knowing that, okay, what we need is a little more ferritin. Once we've got ferritin along with vitamin C, which helps your body absorb the iron, easy digest format, you're going to feel a whole lot better. We're going to break this down for women, men, women during periods of menstruation, which deprives you more of iron, and our athletes in transition. We serve a lot of low-key transgender athletes, both transgender men and transgender women. And we're going to be addressing all of this in the podcast, how your needs change while you are undergoing transitions like menopause or specifically a gender transition. Any sort of hormone replacement therapy is going to have the same net effect during this period, and your nutritional needs are going to change too. So we're going to do this element by element. And the first one we're starting with is ferritin. So that one hopefully will be coming out later this week, unless I screwed schedule up again. But look forward to that. Don't slow down more. So do back off if you feel it. Don't push. I wouldn't say specifically slow down. I would say if you find yourself pushing, resist that temptation and go fill up on protein at every meal. Because that protein source, you go take an iron pill with no consideration. You need to drink it with juice and you need to put magnesium with it. There's a lot you need to do to make sure you're maximizing the absorption of that iron supplement. So rather than just going directly to that, think of it. I need it packaged in a nutritional format. And the fastest way is protein. Okay. Now, yay us, moving right along. We're going on to the questions in our program, Maintain. Maintain is a program for runners who, again, all of these, if one subscription gets you access to Build, Rebuild, Maintain, and Runner Interrupted. It was always designed to be that way. With Maintain, this is the program and the community for people who have a modicum of fitness that they would like to attempt to maintain over time. And the training plans are free. With Maintain, if you're here for 3 months, you only need 10 weeks to ramp up for a marathon, and you can run a half marathon and drop the hat. We maintain a really, really, really high base so that we can do whatever we want. Options, something I learned on Wall Street with that fancy education I was talking about earlier. Options have value until exercised or expired. And we like to think of our fitness and races as an option that we can exercise whenever we want. You don't have to race ever. But if you want to keep that option open, Maintain is the program for you. And especially in a year like this, we aren't quite sure if California International Marathon is going to be happening or not. That's one that we're waiting on. All of the fall races up to this point have been canceled. We are waiting to see what's going to happen. My money is on all of them are going to have to cancel. But at least we're only going to be investing 10 weeks in that really hard marathon ramp rather than a whole 20-week or 16-week plan where you get partway through it and you realize it was all for nothing. It's just going to be life as normal here for as long as possible with the least pressure possible, which keeps you here, keeps you consistent, and actually maximizes the outcome, even though you can't see that until race day sneaks up on you and you're like, wow, this is the least stressful training cycle I've ever had. And if you don't think 10 weeks is long enough, remember, it's possible because we have that high, high base. And you want proof, look at Dathan Ritzenhine in his last marathon, before he retired, 8 weeks. It was an 8-week ramp because he had a super high base of fitness. So I keep pointing to that as proof that this is what the elites do. And if we can just maintain rather than go insane, then we can stay sane and get better outcomes. That whole train is sane and stay the same. I'm like, it's cute. It rhymes. But again, it belongs on a t-shirt. That's not science. Everything we do is science, is evidence-based, science-informed. Maintain. Question one. Hi there. Last week I mentioned I paused my run because my knee was sore. The day after, the knee started to click a lot. Since I earned my MD by Googling, oh, damn torn meniscus, I diagnosed myself with. Taking your advice, I lined up an ortho and a PT. Fortunately, it turned out just to be some IT band tightness and irritation, just like you said. Yay! Anyways, I'll leave this question as more of a thank. Thank you for really being a coach and seeing beyond my topical question last week and recommending I establish a medical support system. Okay, my real questions are coming up. I know who that is. That's Dan. Thank you, Dan. I'm really glad that ended up being nothing. That clicking in your kneecap, it's different if you're like, oh, when I climb the stairs and my knees, like, no, that's the bursitis in your knees. That's different. That's kind of like when you crack your knuckles. Is it something to worry about? You know, that's not for me to say. What I can tell you is that if your kneecap is hurting, that's because it could be as a runner. There are lots of things that could cause it. I discussed all those things in last week's episode. One of them is IT band tightness. Go back and really pay attention to your foam roller. If your foam roller feels like a pool noodle, you're probably not going to foam roll a whole lot because it's not going to be satisfying. You're going to get on that pool noodle and say, foam rolling doesn't do anything, and you're never going to do it again. My foam roller is a PVC pipe named Bertha. It is hard AF. It is not pleasant. But if you get on that the way I tell you to and follow the instructions, the one to worry about is shearing. I call it shearing because we're not on top of your IT band. We're just on the inside. We're shearing the fuzz out that gets junked there in your thighs. And that is all it takes to really get your IT band loose and tracking properly. If you're going directly on top of the IT band, you're probably not loosening up the muscles that are putting pressure on your IT band or that are immobilizing. So think of it that way, not on top of the IT band, but then come forward, inward, 1 inch, that all the way up and down. Yeah, you feel that. That's not pleasant, right? That is where you need to be foam rolling with the hardest thing you could possibly get your hands on. And if that doesn't help a little bit, always see a PT if you have an option. If you have not established care, move to a new city, or if you're in a city and you've never seen a PT, or it's been a long time since you saw a PT, let me tell you, you will get in faster. Don't wait until you already need one. Take it from someone who's moved a whole lot in the middle of pregnancy and then had to try to establish care in new cities while 8 months pregnant. Doctors don't like that. OBGYNs really hate it. But I tell you that, say this, regular doctors don't want to see you when you're pregnant. Nobody else would be like, why did you leave your last OBGYN? Because I decided to stay in my marriage when he moved. What? Anyway, establishing care is really important. You want to have a care team before things go wrong, if for no other reason, that they know what you look like when things are fine. So that when you walk through the door on the day when things are no longer fine, they have an idea of how far that deviation actually is from your baseline. Oh my gosh, this is terrible. You can say this is super painful, but they ain't seen you on a good day. They don't know. They don't know. It is up to you to make sure they know and make sure that you tell them. Silence, pretending that everything's fine, doesn't do you any good. And that is why I am never silent. And I'm not going to tell you that things are fine when they're Yay, you're welcome. But okay, so IT band tightness. Mine flared up last week after a 20 miles/4 hour run. Everything we do in fitness protection, by the way, is capped either by miles or by time. Effort is capped by heart. That's about the most important thing you need to know. So I want you to run for 4 hours or 20 miles, whichever comes first. That's how a lot of the training is written. Why do we put the miles in there? Because marathon runners on the whole don't feel good about their training plan unless they've seen a certain number of 20 mile runs in there. Have I run enough will always be the question for marathoners until they've been with me for a while. So giving a little bit of insight to that question. I'm going to see these questions from Rick Danger. I'm going to come back to those later. I'm going to go through all of these that I know are the pain clients first in this worksheet. So both the ortho and PT said that given my age, 44, it was not surprising. That's stupid. What does your age have to do with your IT band? Shade. PT put me on the treadmill and made some minor adjustments to my form and generally said I look good. I could have told you that. You look great, Dan. To alleviate the immediate tightness, he asked if I wanted to try dry needling, and I took him up on the offer. It worked really well on me. The whole leg seemed really, really, really relaxed after that. Wondering if you had any thoughts on that procedure, dry needling. The long-term treatment plan for me was hip exercises, foam rolling, and some form correction. However, for a quick release, this is pretty good. I tell everyone, if you're starting out looking for a PT, there are a whole lot of PTs in this world. If you want to narrow the field, you want one who has the OCS certification, ideally, who is also certified to do dry needling and manual therapy, which means that they can do everything a chiropractor can do. So I love dry needling. I'm all about it. We have terrific health insurance. It's going to take a lot for my husband to leave his current job because health insurance is so good. I'm like, we can stay here forever. I don't need more stuff. This is really nice. I need more dry needling. So yes, I'm all about the dry needling if it is available to you. I don't have a specific problem with acupuncture, except that my insurance doesn't pay for it. If you have a terrific acupuncturist, I am not dogging them right now. If you have something you love, stick with it. If it works, don't fix it if it ain't broken. But if you are like, that sounds good, maybe I could. Absolutely yes on the dry needling. I can't say enough good stuff about it. But I beg you, do not Google it and try to get a kit and do it to yourself. Nope. There are several things that a human should not try to do, like a glycolic acid peel. Don't do that to your own face. Just don't. Don't try to recobble your own shoes, starting with the most expensive pair that you own or your favorite. There are a lot of things you can learn from YouTube, like if you're watching us on Twitter, something you can learn is how to make great, cheap DIY shower that you can share with the homeless community near you. We are going to be doing that later this week. It costs literally $15 per shower, and we're going to distribute them all over town with one of the mutual aid societies. So that is a good thing you can do from YouTube. Thanks to your body from YouTube, beyond makeup, be really, really careful. Do not try to dry needle yourself. That is something you want someone with a certification to do. And right now, I think you have to be a PT or a DPT to get the dry needling and manual therapy certifications. So stick to that. But yeah, I love dry needling. Get it if you can get it. Okay, last question. Easy question, I promise. You can ask all the questions you want. You pay $1 a day to be here. You can get your money's worth any way you see fit. And if it's by asking me 100 questions, I will answer them all. As long as you ask them in the proper channels and are not trying to email me because my email is the pit of despair. What is up with swamp ass of toes? Given the humid climate here, now that I'm in Durham, my shoes are soaking wet within an hour. It's like walking around in two bowls of chowder an hour in. I love that. Bared your feet to chowder. I've not tried wicking socks and I'm not sure they would even help. After the run, I'm putting on antifungal and as I see some brown and wearing flip-flops. I've had friends lose toenails. Damn it, these piggies are keeping their house. Thoughts? Losing your toenails is a totally separate issue. That usually comes from shoes being too small, socks being too thick, or a combination of both. That's too much pressure on the top or the tip of the toenail. When it comes to your feet being moist, and I know that word is every bit as gross as it sounds, I personally am a big fan of the five-toed socks in Gingy. There are a couple of other brands that make them specifically for runners, but in Gingy just happens to be my favorite. Order them a size up because you don't want that pull down on your toe. So like I'm a lady size 8. I wear a medium in Gingy. Mine would go that way. By keeping your toes separated, that's going to reduce all of the friction, and it's also going to let your toes splay a little bit more. It takes a little getting used to. I remember the first time I saw five-toed socks, I was like, that's unnatural. I saw them when I was in Japan. And, you know, 2 decades later, I looked back and was like, boy, I was stupid. I wish I'd bought all that. Because Japan is like the original home of the five-toed socks. And that stuff is genius. Every runner I knew wore them. Because what you're doing when you put your toe in a sock with all that stretchiness is you're kind of squeezing your toes together. That's not natural. And your feet are not going to get their full range of motion the way that they would in a five-toed sock or even a five-toed shoe. Now, I don't run in my five-toed shoes. I walk around in them. But having that five-toed sock in a good running shoe is an amazing combination. I haven't really had any discernible blisters ever since. But part of it is you're going to be sweating a lot more. That's going to run down your legs and directly into your socks. So one of the adjustments that I make when I'm in the South, I'll go back to the blog and see if I can find it. But I talk about the squish test. If you're going to run a race in the rain, and I wrote this big, long article right before the Houston Marathon in 2017, which was basically a typhoon. Then the Boston Marathon again in 2018. But if you're going to run in that much water where you are guaranteed to get wet, then you need shoes that are not great big sponges. So I talk about grabbing my shoes and running my finger around them to look for all the squishy, because any place that is soft and foamy and squishy, either around the neck or in the midsole, that's going to absorb water. And that shoe is going to go from weighing like 2 pounds to weighing 5. That's what it can feel like. I mean, even a few more ounces in your sock and your shoe with every footfall, it's going to add up really quickly and it's going to suck. So now that you're there on the reg, maybe it's time for something with a thinner, lighter upper. One thing that Newton does really well, I'm not specifically promoting them as a shoe, but what On and definitely new, they have like a summer line and a waterproof line is what they call their winter line, waterproof. So take a look there. With On, a lot of their racing shoes that I like, and the reason I like On so much is that I don't like upper. I want a very neutral, very responsive, meaning each time my foot strikes the ground, I want to feel it and feel that press off. So I want a neutral shoe that doesn't absorb a whole lot of shock, but I also want as little upper as humanly possible. I mean, if I could run in those sandals, I would do it. I really would, because that's how much I hate upper on the top of my foot. So anything with a really thin upper is also going to be really breathable. As your shoe warms up, the longer that you're out there, it's not going to hold or absorb water. It's going to go out and it's going to evaporate, especially in the heat where you are. So that is a very long answer, but let's start with your socks. You definitely, number one, want thinner socks. Wicking, I don't really care. Thinner, yes. Five toes, better. Because if we're going to stay in the socks that you're in, you're going to start reading articles about like putting Aquaphor all over your feet. And that, to me, is just miserable. Like, I've done that before. I did that a long time ago. I will never do it again. If you do that now, I'm not dissing you. I'm saying if you're trying to get away from that wet foot sensation, Aquaphor is not going to help. You're going to be running with that wet foot sensation with sliding inside your sock. And that takes a lot of getting used to. Rather than getting used to that, I decided I was going to change how and what I put on my feet. Rather than change what I can handle, I decided to change what I put on my feet. The thinner socks with the five toes and looking for a thinner, lighter upper shoe. It made all the difference in the world. If I were you, that's where I would start. I'll come up with a couple recommendations after this is over. So that is how I would look at it. This is going one way until the winter. It's a big curve, big adaptation curve. I mean, nutritionally, hydration as well. As funny as it sounds, with all that humidity in the air, you're actually getting less oxygen per inhale. And so you might find that your hydration needs have changed, especially combined less oxygen in with all the sweat. Like that's why Martin is helping so much and feeling so good. Before like making any other bigger tweaks, to just take stock of what's working, you might need more potassium. Adding bananas is one way to do it. Another is noon. I hate the taste of noon personally, but a lot of people don't mind it so much. Working noon in, it's less bad if you can, you know, add flavors and stuff. But that aside, what makes noon so potent is it's potassium. There are lots of different ways to get it. I figured all those ways out because I don't like the taste of noon very much. But those are some things to think about. I'm less worried about you losing your toenails than I am everything else. Because I think once we make these changes or make some changes to your feet, to how you shod them, then that's going to lead to big changes and you'll never lose a toenail. The only time I've ever lost toenails was when I was running a race that I was undertrained for. It was really stupid. I really shouldn't have been there, but it cost a whole lot of money. It was the McElhose in Hong Kong. We were doing it with a whole bunch of people as an out and back. Don't at me. I know it was everything about that is stupid, but I was young. And I lost a couple toenails because I was not ready for the 1,000 steps. It's a temple. It's 500 stairs up, 500 stairs down. You don't want to do that ever, much less undertrained. And that's in the middle of the race. Or if you're doing it as an out and back, it's a quarter of the way through. And I lost 3 toenails and I'll never do it again. Yeah, either a show up meaning I will not, I will never do the McElhose again. I will never show up undertrained to a race again. And I don't want to rule out another trail run in the future, but it's going to take a lot to get me to do another one because I don't live anywhere near trails. So tell you that to tell you this, you're going to be okay. And your friends that lost toenails, it probably had nothing to do with the humidity. I had to do with other things, but we don't like to think about the things that we could be doing wrong. Instead, we look for the things that are out of our control and hang it there and just let them happen over and over again. It's an overuse injury because that's easier than saying, wow, I'm f***ing up. I could stop that. You think someone help me stop f***ing up? That's a really hard thing for humans to say and do, especially overachievers. Overachievers tend to gravitate towards things like distance running. Originally, I was going to call this program Overachievers Anonymous. There are a whole lot of issues with that, obviously, but it really kind of is. So when it comes to after the run, immediately take the socks off, immediately take the shoes off. Another thing you can do, there are these drying balls that you can buy from most run stores that will absorb all the moisture out of your shoe. That is a really good thing to do. The next thing to do, go to the Vibram five finger shoe website. I'm not saying you need to buy them. Look at their care guide. If you're going to be putting your toes in these shoes all the time, you're going to have to clean them out in a way that you don't have to do other shoes. I never really thought about shoe care before I started wearing five-toed shoes and was like, wow, I've been nasty my whole life. Odds are pretty good. You are too. That's not a judgment. It's just you don't know till you know. Take a look at what they say to do. Like once a week, they recommend that you soak your shoes for an hour in this mixture of water and white wine vinegar. Why? Antifungal, antibacterial. And it's amazing. And then after that, throwing them in the wash in a bag on the gentle cycle and then letting them air dry in the sun. All of that once a week sounds like a lot, but it really does make a big difference. And that might not have been necessary in New York, but now in Durham, it probably will be. So go look at the Vibram, V-I-B-R-A-M, the five finger shoe care, and whatever it is they say to do for their running shoes is what you probably ought to start doing for yours, especially if there's a lot of squish in there. Because if there's a lot of squish, that means it's porous, kind of like the hands I was talking about back to the beginning of this podcast when I said people knew me as the information lady in certain circles here in Denver due to the protest. Your shoes have a lot of squish, kind of like your fingers, and a lot of pores. It's very porous. It's a lot of place for stuff to hide that don't need to be there and is really hard to wash out. It can be a function of time. So go wash your shoes the same way five figure shoes do, and you'll be ahead of the game. The final note, so keeping the shoes dry with the dehumidifying balls in the shoe, one, washing them like a five-toed shoe, two. And number 3 is like the foot care itself. That's going to come from you know, just really making sure that you're washing in between your toes each time you take a shower. I mean, I know it's really annoying, that last step of having to like curl your toes up, reach down and get down in there. But another thing that can happen if you get into hiking in the woods or running in the woods, you're near the woods now, except that someone is going to talk you into it, probably a woman. And something else that lives in the woods, scabies. And that's a real shocker if you get them. They are not the end of the world, but they itch a lot. And where did their main point of entry is in between your toes at the little apex and are really hard to get placed. So don't necessarily avoid the woods fearing it, but accept that a really good habit to start right now, considering where you live, is washing in between your toes vigorously with something scratchy. Like I have these shower gloves that I use. They're Korean. I got them on Amazon. I actually used them when I lived in Japan. I rub my between my toes vigorously with those and around the edges of my toenails too. Every time I shower, another habit that is probably worth starting. Just, I don't know, if girls ask questions, they'll just know, or whoever, you know, no judgment. Other humans who might be in your home, if they see this and have questions, just be like, I'm clean. What? It's great. Have you tried it? My feet feel fantastic. And you won't be wrong, because there's nothing worse than nastiness. This is a really great way to kill it. So scabies are real. May you never get them. I've had them twice. They're horrifying. Both happen from running. My 14-year-old son is showing an interest in running thanks to PE and virtual schooling. Yay! He's finally understanding pacing rather than sprint, stop, and repeat. Good for him. Maybe he can come help me teach some adults. Is heart rate training something that could help him? Is there a different HR cap that he would use given his age? It's 155. And I know that sounds ridiculously high, but there's a drop in what is considered to be easy effort. Remember when that baby was in utero? If you were heart rate training with me, you weren't. That was if you had a 14-year-old. But when that baby was in utero and the first time you went in for an ultrasound and they listened to the heartbeat, they said, oh, it's really nice. It's like 155, 185 beats a minute. It's like, whoa, what? Or the very first time you heard the heartbeat, it was like close to 210 beats a minute. And then over time, it dropped down to something more normal right until the baby was born. That's going to continue to happen while your baby reaches maturity. So between 14 and roughly 24, somewhere in there, we can use a higher cap for easy effort runs because their body just isn't fully formed yet. So where their max is a different point. So the number that I usually give for guidance is 155. 160 could, it's not dangerous, but if I say 155, then, you know, it's like the speed limit. Y'all going to go over it. So keep it under 160 and you're good. Around or under 155 and you're definitely okay. Those are my 2 cents. And the most important thing to remember though is that just because it feels good, that doesn't mean it's easy effort. Just because it doesn't hurt does not mean that what you just did was easy effort. They can have a higher cap, but take a note of what your heart rate's doing when you sprint. Take a note of where your heart rate is at that moment that you can't run anymore and you know you need to stop. And then try to stay about 30 beats away from that number. That's the best I can give most people. So if you're out there and you're running, and you're sprinting and your heart rate is like at once and you look down, you're like right before you hit the button, heart rate's at 172. If you've done an EAT with me before, remember those? Yay, raise your hand. Those are terrible, right? The enhanced anaerobic threshold workout is specifically to teach you where the limits are to help us have a more sophisticated, more sophisticated conversation about pacing before you go into your first race situation. So let's say you max out and people are like, I failed the EAT. I couldn't finish. I'm like, no, that's good information. You had to stop. Where did you stop? My heart rate was at 172. Great. Don't go anywhere near 172 on race day. Yay. That's good to know. Great. 30 beats off of that is what? 142. And that's pretty close to the cap that I give you of 140 for easy effort. If for your kid, let's say he's out there running and the point where he needs to stop is like 200. Okay. 30 beats away is 170. That's still really high, but there you go. The 160 is a safer place to be and it's less of a bet than 170. So that's how I would look at it. Find that point where you need to stop, subtract 30 beats per minute, and make that your cap on easy effort. That's another way to do it. Any more questions? Do not hesitate. If you want to bring him in for a chat, we can do that too. I'm always happy to talk. Unless I'm wearing this hat and I'm out in public. with my kids. Will the monthly strength demos by Coach MK come back? I miss them a lot. While the daily Facebook routines are nice, they are not a substitute at all. Plus, given how Facebook works, they are not always in my feed. I'm sorry. Yes, they will. I apologize. This summer has been off. I went for a run one day at the end of May and I got tear gassed and maced. And that changed the trajectory of my summer in a way that I never would have expected. I was enjoying my privilege, being grateful, like I'd always been told to be, like, quit complaining, quit protesting, and just be grateful that your life isn't harder because you're going to make life harder for your kids. And so I did that. And I did that for decades. And I can't do it anymore because I have a special needs child. I mean, I did not truly understand how much danger there is in the world now and how that danger is heightened now that he passes for not autistic. And there's no going back. But now that I'm finding more balance, because I'm going to have children going back to school and I'm going to have to ramp my activities at night back down so that they're not going to be carrying, if I'm exposing myself and then they're going to be exposed and then they're going to be carrying it out into the world. So my activism is going to have to change a lot for social distancing purposes. So with that in mind, there will be a lot more bandwidth for stuff. I'm really sorry it didn't happen this summer. I really, truly am. And I just didn't have the physical strength to do it in August. The 3 days that I was clean and dry enough to do it, I literally didn't have the strength. I was so overdrawn. But we're all in a better place now. And again, I let me tell you how sorry I am. It was never my intention for those to drop. It was just, I don't have the strength to do strength. But that is going to change going forward. They recorded the first set. They're not uploaded yet. I recorded the first set for September already. The second set is going to be coming and everything should be in YouTube shortly. And I do apologize. So there you go. So those are all the questions right now that I have for fitness protection. So I'm going to go to the comments. Weights or cardio? There's a great book that addresses this by Dr. Alex Hutchison, an amazing, amazing Canadian researcher. It's called What Comes First, Cardio or Weights? So my answer to this always is, what do you want to do? Because I don't really care. If you're like, I just want to get fit, again, I don't care. What's more accessible to you? Do you have weights available that you can use? Or do you want to run? I'm never going to tell a person that they have to run. There are lots of different paths to fitness. If you want to race, you want to run marathons, then yeah, we need some weights, but we really need a whole lot of cardio. Obviously, I prefer cardio and not strength. I do the bare minimum of strength to get by, and that means as little as humanly possible. And I really mean this because I hate it. I really hate weights, which is not to say everybody should do. I also love vanilla ice cream. Hit me. I don't care. But these are personal preferences. You can do whatever you want to do. Just think about, what do I need to get and why am I doing what I'm doing? As long as you're stopping to have that little dialogue with yourself, really, who cares? You're winning at life. That's the way life works. So I want you to do whatever makes you the happiest. That's the honest answer to that question. If you are trying to stay consistent and improve and you're worried about performance, then honestly, you're going to need a little bit of both. Whether you're trying to perform for, I don't know, Mr. World, got to get cut and buff, then you need, well, you're going to need some cardio to go with that weights. Or if you're trying to qualify for the Olympic trials or just run your first 5K, you're going to need a lot of cardio, but weights can't hurt. There's a place for both. Figure out what works for you and what your goals are first. So you just got out of jail. Congratulations. I am an abolitionist. I do not like our current system of policing. I do not like our current system of incarceration. It does not deter or prevent crime. It criminalizes poverty. It criminalizes skin color. Race is a construct. It criminalizes being a member of certain race. We have effectively create an underclass of felons that are doomed to perform low wage labor for the rest of their lives, and we deny them the right to vote. There's a lot that's wrong with our system, and it's part of what I'm protesting for. So if you just got out of jail, if you got out of jail with the assistance of the Colorado Freedom Fund, yay. Thank you, Colorado Freedom Fund, for existing. We love you. If you just got out of jail, I hope you're able to stay out. I hope you are able to participate in the various anti-recidivism programs that are offered here in the Denver area. Although I know that isn't enough, it's a pretty good start. Let us know if there's more support that you need. We can always direct you towards resources. Between now and the day that abolition actually becomes a thing, there are a whole lot of us working on it now. I can't tell you, that's been the biggest shock and the best part of 2020. You know, if you'd asked me a long time ago, I would have said, like, I would have probably demurred on the question of, like, what's your political position? I would have worn something like this and been like, do you really want to talk about it? Not because your assumption is correct because it shut the conversation down. There was never necessarily the people who were doing the abolition work weren't affiliated with political parties, and there weren't a lot of spaces for white people. And now it's just like, whoa, this huge, beautiful movement with a name and people. And I found my people and I can say that name. And in amidst all the chaos and all the stress, there has been a little bit of freedom coming out of this. And I'm the most me that I've ever been. I hope now that you're out of prison, you can be the most you that you've ever been. And may God be with you. The system is definitely stacked against you. I know it's going to take more than God, but I hope you're able to rest some in the knowledge that we see you. And there are a whole bunch of us more than ever before working to make sure that no one suffers the way that you did. Humans do not belong in cages, and neither do animals. There we go. That's all I have to say about that is how I feel about that. And all I have to say about that, thank you for joining us. This, my favorite time of week, will always be the weekly Ask Away. We go through the wins. We ask or answer all the questions. And we remember that we're never really talking about the running at this level. And that's fine. We just need to have enough fitness to get through this marathon called life. I'm here for all the questions. Even though I don't have all the answers, I'm always happy to talk to you because you are easy to coach and even easier to love, especially if you've been denied both up to this point. It's not because you weren't worthy and didn't deserve it. It's just because I had not found this or you yet. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being with me. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for continuing to show up. Remember, it's not about whether or not you run. It's about whether or not you engage. It's not a mandate for you to show up. It's a promise that I will. $1 a day is a promise that I will be here every day that you need me. Even if I'm not doing the strength, I will be here doing this, finding other ways to make sure that you feel seen, supported, and validated, no matter what it is you're doing or not doing right now. See you guys next week.